Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your host of Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Let's secure, proceed, and get underway. How often do you feel overwhelmed, stressed out, distracted, and unable to focus? Can we find calm and focus when home business, work, and life feels overwhelming?
When you pay attention to the sensation of being overwhelmed, you can investigate the causes and start to shift the patterns.
Becoming more conscious about how you spend energy and resources reduces feeling overwhelmed as you let go of habits, people, and activities that drain your energy.
Helping us in this journey of self-awareness is Lori Cameron, who has a new book, The Mindful Day, Practical Ways to Find Focus, Calm, and Joy from Morning to Evening. Lori is founder and CEO of Purpose Blue, a leadership coaching and organizational development firm.
So greetings, Lori Cameron. Say hello to our podcast audience.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for coming on our show.
You're welcome.
Okay, all into head standard. At the end of today's show, we'll share with you our best home-based business tip. Today's tip, what is the best way to turn a website visitor into a captured lead? Stay tuned and we'll give you the answer at the end of today's show.
So Lori, how do you find calm and focus when work and life feels so overwhelming?
You know, that's a situation I think that all of us are very familiar with. And the great news is we can train ourselves to find that place of calm. You can think of all your projects and to-dos and tasks and emails as sort of like choppy waves on the surface of the water. And we can drop below that choppy surface and get to that place of calm by actually doing something as simple as using the breath. So by bringing our attention to the process of breathing, just an inhale and an exhale, we actually take the beam of attention that's in our heads and that swirling, busy, it's almost like a shaken snow globe of thoughts, and bring it down into the body on the breath.
Okay, I'm breathing here. I'm inhaling and exhaling. How am I doing?
Well, you tell me, because the beauty is...
I'm feeling calmer, though.
Yeah, it's really an inner experience. So you pay attention to the breath, and you start to down-regulate the nervous system, the body, and allow your thoughts to settle. And so you're creating space. That's how we create space. From there, we can start to make skillful choices and take, you know, more wiser actions than when we're just operating from the frenzy.
So kind of saying that the stillness inside of your body will affect the way you mentally work through situations and handle your tasks?
Yeah, very well said. When we are in a reactive pattern or just incredibly busy, or usually we're not even thinking about what we're doing in the present. 47% of the time, our mind is somewhere else. That's research out of Harvard. Half the day, I'm thinking about the past or worried about the future. So I want to get my mind into the present. And when I take those few breaths, like Richard just did, I actually bring my mind back to the present. Even one breath can do it.
So it's kind of like gaining that present moment focus, which we hear a lot in a lot of different scenarios. Yeah. You get into the present moment and kind of put a shield around yourself with all these things that are distracting you and stressing you out with the breathing. So there's a physical component, and yes, there's also a mental component to it.
Yes, and let me give you a three-step, very quick practice that I use all the time and my clients do and all of our listeners can do. It's called Just Three Breaths. And what it does is it does just what you said, Richard. It starts with the body and then goes to the mental. So the first breath we do is we bring attention to the breath. The second breath, we relax the body. And then the third breath, we say, what's important now? You know, what's my top priority? What would be a home run if at the end of the day I accomplished that? So in three breaths, we can do the body and then ask ourselves the mental question about what's most important.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, a key factor in achieving balance is finding that self-awareness. Lori, how does mindfulness practice increase our capacity for self-awareness, to see the habits of our mind, our patterns, and the beliefs that either limit us or propel us forward?
That's a really fundamental question, because self-awareness is the foundational competency for productivity, performance, being effective. Mindfulness is about paying attention in the present to our preferences, our styles, things we avoid, things we gravitate to, our emotions, and whatever thoughts and emotions are present in our bodies in this very moment. It's like self-awareness in real time. So mindfulness is about paying attention. So if we know how to do that, we can deepen our self-awareness.
So you got to have both mindfulness and self-awareness. So I'm trying to put kind of wrap my hands around it. I guess self-awareness is you're aware of yourself, and maybe in what we call in the military, presence of mind.
Yes.
Mindfulness. So you're focusing on what's actually draining you and help you get back into a better centered being.
I love how you put that. Mindfulness is the how to self-awareness.
Okay.
How do I see more vividly, with more clarity, what's going on inside this head and this body? By paying attention, by turning the beam of my attention onto myself. And so when I get that clarity, I can make a better choice in how I'm interacting with you or my client or my vendor or my colleagues. So it starts to create more wisdom, more clarity, more information, so I actually become more skillful.
Well, I'm already getting more relaxed here. I think my stress level gone down?
Sure. I can feel it right through the wires here.
I don't think I'm going to get anything done the rest of the day. I'm going to be in transcendental meditation here. Well, before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Shane Douglas, one of the home-based business industry's top income earners and trainers. He is looking to train the right motivated individuals, get paid when people pay their monthly utility bills. Shane Douglas has an established business model on how to prosper in paying off these bills. For more information, visit www.betheone.com or visit our podcast website for more information on sponsors.
Now, with many home-based business owners operating their business around a day job, it's easy to get overwhelmed. Laurie, how can we pay attention to the sensation of being overwhelmed, and how can we investigate the causes and start to shift the patterns?
So I certainly can relate to that point of being overwhelmed. And the interesting thing that most of us don't know is that our bodies know we're overwhelmed before our mind says, hey, you're sitting, you know, in front of a mountain of work. And so if we start to pay attention to signals from the body, it's called Wisdom of the Body by Dan Goleman, who's the pioneer in emotional intelligence. Signals are, you know, sweaty hands, a tight throat, a queasy stomach. When I start to tune in to being clenched and tight, I can take that breath. I can do those just three breaths and create some space. If I just keep plunging forward, multitasking, executing my to-do list, I don't usually make the best decisions. I don't think clearly. I don't show up well with the people I'm working with. Mm-hmm. So I want to sense what my body's telling me, create space, relax my mind and body, create a clear mind, and then I can take good action.
What do you think is more important for that? You know, we talk a lot about mindfulness and self-awareness. Which one's more important? Would it be self-awareness in this case?
That's a super question. We really can't be self-aware unless we're paying attention in the moment, and that's mindfulness. Mm-hmm. So mindfulness is a skill that allows us to be self-aware, which is a whole capacity. So sometimes when I'm not paying attention, or I'm not noticing my patterns or noticing how I'm showing up with people, am I an interrupter? Am I too dominant in meetings? Am I someone who withdraws too much? Self-awareness helps me start to see what I'm good at, my strengths, and maybe things that I'm not so strong in. And mindfulness is how I see.
I see. So a good way kind of carrying this forward is that by being mindful, you're also maybe drawing off your inner wisdom. Like you were saying right there, you know, how am I acting in a meeting? Am I being overbearing?
Yes.
You're drawing out, you know the right thing to do. And when you're mindful of it, that helps guide you moment to moment instead of getting that meeting done. And you go, you know, I really bullied that person in the meeting. You know, if you'd have been thinking about it while you were there, you might have, as we say in the Navy, changed course and been a little more, you know, diplomatic on it. So, yeah, there's
you know, Richard, there's two words I want to amplify that you just said that are so perfect. One is wisdom and one is changing course. And the actually, you did a third one, being conscious. That's all we're doing. We're being more conscious. We're gaining insight and wisdom in real time. And then we're navigating and charting our course by using that wisdom in real time. It's exactly what we're doing.
There we go. I love it. Changing course and navigating. I'm back in the Navy here. This is good.
All right. I'm strapped in.
You don't want to get strapped on my ship. You'd end up being stumped or whatever. Okay. Well, achieving a work-life balance must mean getting our priorities right to see what is most important. Lori, how can we focus on what really matters?
So, I like to call that purpose, and that's why I named my company Purpose Blue. And for all of us, creating time, whether it's in the morning journaling, whether it's in a deep conversation with a business advisor or someone you trust, we can get really clear on our purpose, on our why, and what matters most in terms of who we're serving and the contribution we're making in the world. Right now, you are serving a very focused audience and really impacting their ability to be successful. So when you create space and you feel overwhelmed, you can look at your to-do list and say, okay, out of all this work I've got to do, which of these projects are most aligned to my purpose, to who I'm serving, and what I think is most essential. Some people call it the why.
You know, just throwing this out, I heard somewhere you can't really multitask. I mean, you can work, you might have to work on multiple things during the day, but you can really only focus on one task at a time. What are your thoughts on that?
That's right. We women used to brag that we could multitask and guys couldn't, but the reality is none of us can. We can only serial task. And actually, in the book I just wrote, I dedicated a whole chapter to banish multitasking, because when we switch task from one to the other, the quality of both activities decreases, and we actually have a startup time every time we switch. So we actually take longer when we multitask than when we just serially focus. That's really the key to high performance and productivity.
So that, like that old saying of get it done now is, you know, start a task and finish it. And that's a better way of going than try to work on 50 things at once. And to work a little bit on one and the next, and then you know that's you're saying it's that startup and stopping that could drain a lot of energy.
Yeah, and I think it's important to get clear on purpose and priorities, and then schedule your day around those and do one thing at a time.
True. So, Lori, this discussion will not be complete without some way to check how well we're doing in achieving greater balance in our day-to-day lives. How do you go about auditing your energy spent for home-based business owners?
You know, that's a, it's really important. That adds to our wisdom. So when you look at what your purpose is and who you're serving and what your biggest projects are as a home-based business, then you can actually, you know, just run an experiment for a day or a week and track where your time goes. You can do that with a pen and paper. You can do that with an app like Toggle, and you can just track your time and then reflect. And some people, I was talking to one client, he said, you know, I thought I was a marketer, but I found out I'm really a Twitterer. I really spend most of my time on Twitter. And so that reflection of noticing where our time goes is enormously valuable. And, you know, we used to say time management, and now we're really knowing it's about energy management. How am I spending my energy? Energy is our most valuable resource.
So you kind of look at what that time is spent, but then you also look at how much energy is going into those endeavors, which, you know, can drain you over time. I guess you've got to tie that in also is, you know, what are you supposed to be working on? You know, Twittering or marketing?
Right.
You tie that into, okay, you know, I guess the goal should be to maximizing your energy on what should be important.
Exactly.
In this case, with your business, but also balancing it with your life. You know, your personal life too.
That's absolutely it. And even the energy question, I could say, well, I'm serving clients and that's a top priority. But even as I look at my portfolio of clients in my home-based business, some clients are very energizing and some clients are very draining. So as we start to be more conscious of where our time's going and where our energy's going, we can make wiser choices on even who we're working with, which vendors, which clients, which colleagues. So it's really a powerful self-reflection tool.
Yeah, you're on target with that. I know some in the morning, I look at my to-do list and I go, oh no, I got to call that person.
Right.
And I immediately start feeling drained. I guess yeah. I got to stop and figure out why the heck I'm feeling drained about this. I don't know, this sounds screwy, but if I have to call somebody, I try to attach something positive to calling this person, but it doesn't work. I still dread making that call.
Well, I love that you brought up the fact that you're becoming a witness to that feeling of being drained. When we're becoming more mindful, we're noticing that, hey, I feel drained just thinking about that person, let alone talking to them, and then asking yourself, what's going on here? Sometimes with mindfulness, we learn to look at what we're believing about ourselves or that person. And sometimes we're holding a belief or an assumption about a certain person that isn't true. And that might be draining us. So before we maybe think it's the person or think that client isn't so great, it might just be an assumption that we have it checked out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to highlight your wonderful skill of cultivating the positive. We can cultivate a positive mindset. It is not just a Hallmark card or a Stuart Smiley thing. It's a real thing. We can do that. So you're already very mindful in a lot of moments of your day.
Yeah, I got a lot of practice at practicing positive outcomes when you're on sea duty in the Navy. It's like there wasn't anything. It was grueling. So you had to like walk around. Okay, what can I attach positive to this? We're going to watch the sunset tonight. But I think carrying that forward in anything you're doing, you know, there's got to be some kind of a positive outcome, even when you're dealing with a negative person or a payment situation or something. And at least you're moving the ball forward by confronting it and working it into your day.
Precisely. One of the leaders in this field, a neuroscientist, Richie Davidson, really teaches that the pillar to resilience is cultivating a positive outlook. Exactly what you were doing on the ship. Here I am on a ship. I can look at the glass half empty, or I can actually orient my mind to noticing what's positive or creating something positive. I can generate positivity by complimenting another crew member on the ship or thinking about a project that needs to happen on the ship that I'm going to take on. So we can really notice and also generate. And that starts to stick. Whatever we practice gets stronger.
Oh, as I say, what goes around comes around or something like that.
And there's also that. There's also that. And I've seen that enough in my life.
Well, Lori Cameron, this has been a great discussion on achieving greater work-life balance. Do you have any final points you'd like to share with our podcast audience?
I do. I just want to leave them with the idea of presence, dropping below the waves to the deep blue, purpose, staying connected to what matters most, and practice.
Well, thank you for being such a great guest on our show.
Oh, it's been so fun to be with you both.
To learn more about Lori Cameron and her book, visit our podcast website at homebusinessmag.com for more information.
Okay, the answer to today's home business tip. What is the best way to turn a website visitor into a captured lead? Offer something for free that the visitor can download when they key in their name and email contact at your website, such as an ebook or a premium they can redeem. Everyone likes to get something free. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.